Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Bucks Weekly for the week of October 16th, the final week of the preseason. So next week when we reconvene for this show, it will be the week of the regular season beginning. Bucks will tip off their season Thursday, October 26th, 1 week from Thursday, so 10 days from now, at home against the Philadelphia 76ers. It is a three-game homestand to open up the season. Remember all those years, by the way, when the Bucks would always open on the road? Because the NBA season would open in the middle of the week, so the Bucks, it was, what, I think 2 decades were close to it, that they opened up on the road just because that ownership group prioritized, and you got to keep in mind, it was a much different Bucks team. You didn't have an MVP caliber player. You certainly weren't one of the favorites or co-favorites to win the conference or the championship. So you wanted to maximize the interest in fans that you would get there. So ownership prioritized, hey, we want our home opener to be on a Saturday. And that usually meant, okay, well, that means you're going to open up the season and maybe your first two games will be on the road. But Bucks have been opening up at home quite a bit the last couple of years, and that will continue this year with that three-game homestand to open things up as well. I mentioned next week, so I do want to point this out and put it on your radar. Next week, Bucks Weekly, we will have the return of Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks, and Gail Klappa has, I believe, 2 guests lined up for next week's show. That will be 1 week from today, same time slot, 8 to 9 on Monday. And on Wednesday next week, October 25th, we will have a special season preview show of the Bucks, of the NBA. I'm still working on some of my pals and big-name guests to jump on the show, but we'll have a two-hour season preview edition of the show next Wednesday. So we'll have the Monday show and also a special two-hour show Wednesday. You can hear it on WTMJ and on ESPN Milwaukee as well. So we will use that show to dive into quite a bit of the league and what's changed. We know what's new on the Bucks and these new faces and names like Damian Lillard, a new coach in Adrian Griffin, some familiar faces in Joe Prunty and Terry Stotts on the staff. We know all that about the Bucks, but outside of the Boston Celtics, as we know, that's where Jrue Holiday is now. We'll go through the rest of those changes and what you need to be aware of going into this season. So we will do that next Wednesday from 6 to 8 p.m. Again, on WTMJ and on ESPN Milwaukee, our season preview edition of the show in, 9 days? And then 10 days, the NBA season starts. You heard on the news update, Bucks were victorious last night. I'm sure you heard the game and may have watched it as well, but that was the debut of Damian Lillard. We only saw Dame and Giannis together for about 10 minutes on the floor together, 15 or so minutes for the two of them together playing in that game. But what you did see, you certainly liked, and it gets the wheels turning over what this team could look like offensively. It's not a unique POV that I've shared, but as soon as this trade went down, I'd said, look, I think the Bucks are going to have a top three offense in all likelihood. You know, it's easy to look at this on paper and say, well, how do you stop that two-man game? And that was part of what made last night so intriguing, that, you know, we think this is going to work, and not just work, but work perfectly. If you would envision and have to draw up in the lab, who would be the ideal partner for Damian Lillard? I think you would come away with Giannis or somebody close to that. And vice versa of, well, Giannis and Chris is certainly a very good pairing, but if I told you you can wave the magic wand and put one player out there with Giannis, who would it be? And if it's not Damian Lillard, it's Steph Curry. Are those two names that you would fall on? We saw a little bit of it last night in how that offense is going to look. And I think the big things are this. It's going to take time to work on that chemistry. But in terms of surface level, you saw how good it looked last night. I mean, Giannis started the game incredibly efficient. And that speaks to, in part, the gravity of Damian Lillard and how easy or how much easier Dame is going to make things for Giannis this season. But I think the bigger adjustment for this team is not so much those two together, but everybody else, and Giannis included, having to kind of learn Dame Lillard some. I think we saw last night a couple of instances where Damian Lillard goes to set up the offense, gives up the ball, and you know, maybe not quite Steph Curry levels, but still movement off the ball, cutting off the screens, working his way open to get another look. And I think that's going to be the bigger adjustment in the short term for the Bucks is some of those guys, like a Pat Connaughton or Bobby Portis, whoever it is that's out there on the floor, Brooke Lopez, who haven't played with that before, and you're so used to the system that you ran for the last 5 years, and, well, this is how we did things here, having to kind of recondition yourself to, oh, you know what, I got to look for Dame again. He's going to get open, and we know he doesn't need much space to get off the shot, so, yeah, once he gives it up, I got to look for him again, him and Giannis. But so far, so good. Now, will we see both of those guys tomorrow? TBD. No word yet, but the Bucks resume the preseason tomorrow in Oklahoma City. They take on the Thunder. 7 o'clock tip-off from OKC. 6:30 is when our coverage will begin on the radio network with me and Dave Kane. And 6 o'clock is when our WTMJ coverage will begin with me on Bucks shoot-around. So that is the final road game of the preseason tomorrow night in OKC. Then you come home to take on the Memphis Grizzlies Friday night, and then about a week off, and the season gets going. But we saw Dame Lillard in a Bucks uniform for the first time, and as we said, you liked what you saw. Your impressions on the Damian Lillard debut, I would assume it didn't change things for the negative, but what you saw, what was your primary takeaway? 855-616-1620. Is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Weekly. So we'll take your Damian Lillard thoughts now that his first Bucks game is out of the way. Talked about this a little bit on the Bucks shoot-around show yesterday as well, but I did want to get to some other things that we saw yesterday and some of the role players and what this season could mean for them versus where the Bucks were at previously. Jay Crowder is in that mix, and a handful of young guys that the Bucks have, because I do think there is going to be a pretty good opportunity for at least two of those young guys this year. But I also think, and I'll explain why, we may be pinning too much blame on Mike Budenholzer and the previous staff for what we view as shortcomings or lack of development for some of those young guys, and specifically a Marjon Beauchamp. So we'll get to that discussion, but plenty of time to hear from you as well and your thoughts on seeing or listening to the game with Damian Lillard for the first time. We'll take those thoughts after this. It's Bucks Weekly on WTMJ. So Damian Lillard made his Bucks debut, albeit in a preseason game last night, and he and Giannis combined for 30 points. Just a combined 50% shoot. Look, it's the preseason, so you don't take away too much there, but if you wanted to nitpick, I think you would point to, man, the efficiency numbers weren't that great. But to me, what stood out the most was there was a couple of plays that we saw. That specific action of Giannis and Dame Lillard in a two-man game, Giannis setting the screen for Dame, and the first time we saw it, Giannis was the roller, rolling to the rim. The defense picked him up, and Giannis made the read, finding, I believe, Jay Crowder on the wing for a three-point attempt, which, when this team is at full strength, that's going to be Chris Middleton. You're going to, hey, if you trap Dame, or if you say we're doubling the ball, Giannis is going to roll to the rim. If you double Giannis, Damian Lillard has an open look from three. If you say, you know what, we're just going to hedge here and try to defend both, we saw Giannis last night make the read, and Giannis is going to do that and find either Brook Lopez or Chris Middleton. So these are all reasons why I had said this is probably going to be a top three offense, if it is not the best offense, because there's going to be nights when the Bucks offensively are just going to blow people off the floor. Between Giannis, between Dame, both with the capability of certainly scoring 50. And in Dame's case, we've seen even more than that. Chris Middleton becomes a tertiary guy. Brook Lopez has always kind of been the fourth option. Here, injuries have changed that the last couple of years, but Brook's another guy we have seen show the ability to score 20 points plus consistently if called upon. There is going to be a lot of scoring. Bobby Portis is another guy, because I think one of the changes with this new roster and everything that's kind of taken shape for this team is, you know, we can point to, well, who's going to take on some of these tough defensive assignments. But it's clear this is going to be a very different team. You know, for the last 5 years, you had a dynamic offensive player in Giannis. You had some nice support pieces around him. Chris Middleton's an all-star caliber player. Jrue Holiday is an all-star caliber player. We just mentioned how proficient and how good Brook Lopez is. Bobby Portis as well. But you haven't had anything like Damian Lillard. You won with your defense and just enough offense. Now, the regular season, it was a pretty good offense. I would not say the Bucks had elite offenses. Early in Bud's tenure, sure. But it was the defense that was the calling card. I don't know that that's going to be the case. We talked about the GM survey on yesterday's show as well. And one of the big takeaways is, in that, John Schumann of NBA.com surveys all the general managers in the league. You know, the questions that you would ask your friends: who's going to have the best record in the league? What trade was the most impressive, or what was the most under the radar? And some of the questions about defense, what really struck me was where Giannis and Jrue Holiday and even Brook Lopez are viewed by general managers across the league, and that Giannis and Jrue were 1 and 2 for who are the best defensive players in the league. Now, I don't want to cry foul here and get into the national media just doesn't care about the Bucks, but I don't remember that being the narrative necessarily about Jrue Holiday the last 3 years. He was really good. He's underrated. He's maybe the best perimeter defensive player in the league, but none of what we have seen since his trade to the Boston Celtics. But when you comb through those responses, even with Jrue Holiday gone, because this survey was sent out after both of those trades, even with no Jrue Holiday in the mix, Bucks still finished third in who will have the best defense. So I had kind of cautioned and said, look, I think they're probably going to be, you should shoot for 10th if you can get there. Maybe it's going to be like 12th, 13th. They're going to slide a little bit without Jrue. But league executives apparently don't think that's going to be the case. And I think what the Bucks are pinning their hopes on and a lot of their defensive strategy on in order to keep that and maintain that type of defense is two of those names we mentioned, Giannis and Brook Lopez. And it's part of the strategy from Bud that you carry it over into this. If we can take away everything at the rim, we'll take our chances with the rest. And this is a scheme that, at least from what we've heard from Adrian Griffin, and, you know, again, you can't have wholesale takeaways from the preseason, but we've seen spots of it. It's a scheme that is going to do that and say, look, we're going to be physical. We're going to continue to take away shots at the rim with Brook and with Giannis. But we're going to pressure the ball handlers. We might not have a Jrue Holiday. No. Wesley Matthews, another guy that you don't have to throw out there. We may have taken some hits on the wing with our defense, but we're going to make up for that by trying to force turnovers and pressure the ball. Damian Lillard had 3 steals last night. So league executives think, well, it's as long as you got Brooke and as long as you got Giannis, it's still going to be at least a good defense. And it's going to be a great offense. But listening to some of these quotes from Giannis when he talked after the game last night is, you know, to me, what gets you most excited about this upcoming season. I mentioned some of these young guys. We will get to that in a second. But when we do come back, I do want to get to these comments that Giannis made after the game and Damian Lillard as well, because you know, we've continued to point out, look, Giannis has never played with a guy like this before. Very few players have, right? There's maybe three teams in league history that have had a player like a Damian Lillard. But Giannis articulated what it is about Dame specifically that is going to make his life a lot easier when talking to ESPN last night after the game. We'll tell you those comments and to also take a look at some of these young guys, what their path could be. We'll get to all of that after this on Bucks Weekly.
This is Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
So you got 30 combined points last night from Giannis and Dame Lillard in their preseason debuts. 15 minutes from Giannis. Dame played 22 minutes. It was, I think it was like 13, 12 minutes that they were on the court together. But we saw those moments. And I mentioned the two-man game that we saw with Giannis screening for Dame, rolling to the rim, finding the open man. We also saw, it just seemed like, and again, I feel like I have to preface every time we have any positives or negatives from any preseason game, but it's a preseason game. We've heard other coaches say how much or little they actually care about what goes on there as long as we leave healthy and we work on things that we've addressed throughout camp and know, like, this is what we want to do. But you had so many open looks yesterday. For not just Giannis or Dame, there was a play where Dame, you ran the inverted pick and roll, Dame sets the screen on Giannis's guy, and there's so much fear over we can't let Dame slip out from the screen and get open, and we got to stick to Giannis, that Brook Lopez just rolled wide open to the rim. That's the gravity both of those guys command. And that's why, you know, I've seen a few people kick around, man, I wonder how Chris Middleton feels. He talked about it a little bit with Eric Name in that interview in The Athletic, but Chris has said on more than one occasion already this offseason, I don't care. I'm fine with if you tell me, hey, this is going to be your role. If it means I'm playing with Dame Lillard and Giannis, yeah, I'll do whatever you need from me. And we talked about Dame making life easy for Giannis and vice versa. Well, both of them are going to make it incredibly easy for Chris, for Brook Lopez. But after the game, Giannis spoke to ESPN. And I think the quote that got all the attention, and rightfully so, was when he was talking with Dave McMenamin and said, look, I'll be very honest, I've never been this open. And first of all, I have never seen anybody being double-teamed from the first possession of the game, obviously referencing Damian Lillard. Having another guy out there that's just dominant is what Lillard said about Giannis. He can dominate a game and win you a game himself. First couple of plays, they blitzed me. They trapped me. The guy that I'm releasing the ball to is Giannis. So I'm just like, we can do this all night, if you know what I mean. We're going to have a lot of play options, Lillard said. It's going to be times where he's willing to make the play to me and vice versa. We saw that today. And that's the thing, is it's going to be really a pick your poison with this team. Now, the regular season and postseason are totally different. Is a team going to scheme up, all right, here's how we're going to take Dame out of the pick and roll, or here's how we're going to minimize Giannis? Sure, you can do that for portions of the game. You're not going to really see it during the regular season. It's just a playoff series where that comes into play. But that's where having Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez comes into play. You know, again, Chris Middleton was the guy that won you some big games, had some huge moments in 2021, hit the game-winning shot in the first game of the playoffs against the Miami Heat. Chris Middleton hit the, what would prove to be, game-winning shot against the Brooklyn Nets in Game 7. Chris Middleton had a 40-point game in the NBA Finals. And Chris Middleton with a 20-point quarter in the Eastern Conference Finals and what he did in those final three games of that series with no Giannis. So, 2.5 games. So, that's where they're going to come in huge. But just seeing what we saw last night and hearing Damian Lillard say, look, we can do this all night. If you're going to blitz me and leave Giannis open, I mean, good luck if that's how you choose to defend it. And Giannis, too, I've never been this open. We heard Malik Beasley say the exact same thing on Media Day, referring to practice of, man, when I'm on the floor with Giannis and Dame, I have never seen so many open shots in my life. And I think the thing that's going to be the most fun about this pairing is the similarities between the two. You know, Dame Lillard, for the longest time, was Mr. Portland. And loyal to Portland, a small town guy, small market team guy, I should say. But his whole story, coming up through Oakland, going to Weber State, then going to the Portland Trailblazers and staying there and trying to make it work, getting to a conference finals. Wouldn't really speak on it, but when pressed and asked, hey, who would you team up? Giannis was the only name that he would mention. And he reiterated that on Media Day. I think you guys recall, the only guy I have ever publicly said I would want to play with is Giannis. Giannis has said the same thing. A little more veiled, the way that Giannis has put it, but Giannis has said the same thing. Giannis said it at Media Day. He said it again last night. You know, Dame just reminds me of myself so much. He's like a little version of me. He's quiet, goes about his business, takes care of his family, shows up, practices really hard, helps his teammates when he needs to be vocal. And when the game starts, he is an absolute killer. I've learned so much from him. He knows how to play this game. He puts himself in position to be successful. He helps us and puts me in position to be successful. That, to me, is the money quote from Giannis. Not just, hey, we can do this all night, or I don't know how you defend this. I've never had so many open shots. But Giannis talking about, this is what Dame brings. And this is how Dame is going to help us. This is how Dame is going to help me, too. Because there is one thing we would nitpick. It's certainly not the effort. It's certainly not the defensive ability. Any of that with Giannis. It's, but in the half court, we do have to see some progression here. And that's where a guy like Damian Lillard comes up huge. So to me, everything we heard from Giannis last night was great. But how he can help me, how he understands the game, learning from him, that's the big takeaway from what Giannis said and what we saw last night in the preseason debut of Damian Lillard and Giannis in the Bucks' victory over the Lakers. Tomorrow night in Oklahoma City to take on the Thunder. That's the final game of the road slate in this preseason. And then Friday night at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. We will touch on that game tomorrow night just a little bit. But when we come back, I do want to get to some of those rotation questions and specifically the young guys and development opportunities that may exist this year versus years past. We'll get into it next on Bucks Weekly. Bucks in Oklahoma City tomorrow night to take on the Thunder. It is a 7 o'clock game. 6:30 is when our network coverage begins. And 6 o'clock is when our Bucks coverage begins with yours truly on Bucks Shootaround. The Oklahoma City Thunder, by the way, we don't do injury reports in the preseason. But the Thunder have been dealing with quite a bit of guys missing time throughout the preseason here. And they also played Sunday. So, again, we haven't heard anything on Chris Middleton. He did make it seem like we would see him in one, maybe more than one, game this preseason. You got two left. So if not tomorrow, that would leave Friday night. But it did sound as though from both Chris and Adrian Griffin pretty good chance we're going to see Chris in at least one of those games. He's the only guy we've yet to see in the preseason, though. Yesterday's game was basically all hands on deck, save for Chris. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, though, been a different story. So they have Victor Oladipo, who you may recall suffered a pretty bad injury in game four against the Bucks in that first round series. He's going to miss the year. But he was traded to the Thunder in a cap deal over the summer. So Victor Oladipo is with the Thunder, but obviously will not be playing in tomorrow's game. Isaiah Joe is another guy who has missed some time throughout this preseason for rest purposes, is what it's being termed as. Kenrick Williams didn't play in the game yesterday, and he's also a guy, you look at what he can do defensively. I know he's been linked to teams, contending teams, and certainly would look good as a member of the Bucks. For whatever reason, Kenrick Williams has not been playing that much. Again, preseason, so no massive takeaways there, but it's at least interesting and worth filing away. And Cason Wallace, one of their rookies, did leave the game against the Hornets on Sunday with an injury, so TBD on his status. The only other guy worth noting for the Thunder in terms of injuries is Alexei Pokuševski, who, you know, way back when, as in a year ago, was one of those young guys on the rise for the Thunder, or at least intriguing. And now, this Thunder team, there's just so much young talent that you can get lost in the shuffle. Chet Holmgren, by the way, is classified as a rookie this year after missing all of last season. You have him. You have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is arguably the best player in the FIBA World Cup over the summer. Jalen Williams, both Jalen Williams there. So there's a lot of young talent there in Oklahoma City, and they're one of those interesting teams to keep an eye on this year of, are they ahead of the rebuild plan? And are they going to have to start to explore, well, we got all these draft picks, we got all these young players, we also have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander playing at a near MVP level, all NBA level. Do we need to look into speeding up the timeline here and adding some talent? So, assuming we see all those guys, and specifically Chet Holmgren, should be a fun game tomorrow to see all of that young talent in Oklahoma City. Speaking of young talent, so the Bucks have quite a bit of it this year. Now, it may not be top-tier starter-level talent, at least yet, but for so many years, that was one of the things with this team, was it very quickly became a veteran team, and it very quickly got old. Now, I don't say that as if it's a bad thing, but a couple of things contributed to that. Number one, you look at all the deals that were made through the years to bring in Nikola Mirotic, who, by the way, in that general manager poll that I referenced earlier in the show, Niko Mirotic was voted as the best international player not currently in the NBA. But you gave up 4 second-round draft picks for Niko Mirotic. You gave up, I believe, 4 second-round draft picks for P.J. Tucker. You gave up 5 for Jay Crowder. You gave up picks in the deal to acquire Drew Holiday. You've given up all these picks year after year after year after year. And not only that, because of the success that you've had, you have been drafting very, very late in the first round. So we're talking about on an annual basis, you either don't have a first-round pick or that pick is somewhere for between 26 and 30. That starts to take a toll on replenishing the talent in your system. And I think that's what we've seen, especially in the second round. Because if you look at the most recent years here, for what the Bucks have had to work with, I mean, they found some success in the second round. That's been off the table the last couple of years. So you have that, a lack of picks, of where the picks are coming from, and it's greatly diminished the players that you're bringing in via the draft. Now, there's maybe 2 or 3 teams that really excel at finding undrafted guys and developing them. It's not to say the Bucks shouldn't worry about that, but there's very few teams that do it well. Miami Heat are one of them. The Toronto Raptors for years had been one of those teams. Denver Nuggets did a pretty good job recently as well, but it's not common. So that's another avenue the Bucks have just not had or have not used to build up their roster. When you look back, though, at the last decade or so of draft picks, I'm going to exclude this year, and I'm going to exclude last year with Marjon Beauchamp. Prior to that, Bucks didn't have a pick in 2021 as a part of all those moves that we referenced. In 2020, you had a first-round pick, technically, but it wasn't yours. It went to Denver, and that became R.J. Hampton. Jordan Wara was your draft pick that year, a second-round pick, and that was already 3 years ago. The year before that, you had a first-round pick in name only. It was part of a trade. That was Kevin Porter Jr., and eventually went to the Cavaliers. That's 2019. 2018, you had Dante DiVincenzo. All things considered, I think you did a good job developing that. Maybe not the best job of maximizing it, but you got value out of Dante DiVincenzo. In 2017, it was DJ Wilson in the first round. Obviously, that did not go as planned or hoped. In 2016, you had the rookie of the year, Malcolm Brogdon, in the second round. Thon Maker was your first-round pick, 10th overall. Now, you can do the study of looking at all the guys that went one or two picks after where the Bucks drafted in the first round from basically 2014 through 2017. Thon Maker, so DJ Wilson, Thon Maker. Rashad Vaughn was your first-round pick in 2015. And then, of course, 2014, Jabari Parker, you took him second. A guy by the name of Joel Embiid went third. Ever since you drafted Giannis, it's been tough to find guys through the draft. All those names that we referenced, Malcolm Brogdon won a Rookie of the Year. He contributed. Very short term, though. Dante DiVincenzo was a contributor. Obviously not here. Jordan Wara gave you minimal contributions. He is no longer here. So we've kind of pinned our hopes on Marjon Beauchamp. Now, I think a lot has been made over Marjon's year last year, and a lot of it unfairly has been laid at the feet of Mike Budenholzer. So I do want to get to that, but also, these young guys now, who has the best chance of breaking that drought, basically, that we referenced of Bucks draft picks? And I suppose technically there's only one that has the option this year, because the only true Bucks draft pick this past year was Chris Livingston. But there's going to be opportunity for these young guys. What is the rotation going to look like, or the opportunities for all of those names? And some similarities, maybe not mirror image of the way they play, but just overall makeup that I've seen between one of the names we previously referenced and one of the rookies from this year. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Weekly. So when you dig deeper into the young guys, I suppose, but really just this team with Adrian Griffin in charge now, it's the funny part is, when you look at Adrian Griffin's career as an assistant coach, we know he spent some time here in Milwaukee with Scott Skiles. That got him into coaching. He began his career as an assistant coach with the Bucks. Worked with Skiles, went to the Bulls. He worked with Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City. But Adrian Griffin started in Toronto the exact same year the Raptors promoted Nick Nurse from coaching their G League franchise, the 905, to the head coach of the Raptors, 2018-2019. It's the same year Mike Budenholzer took over as the head coach of the Bucks. And if you go back to that season, and we've talked about this before, that one of the big sticking points with Adrian Griffin, or one of the big things you would point to if this is the kind of guy we want, is one by one, you hear from his former players and guys that he had worked with in the past, and they rave about his ability to work with young players and develop talent. And I had just said, Bucks didn't have a whole lot of it through the years. This year they have some. Jimmy Butler, maybe the biggest proponent for Adrian Griffin through this process. We've heard Jimmy Butler talk about everything Adrian Griffin meant to him and how much Adrian Griffin helped him out when he was on the staff in the Bulls, with the Bulls, and Jimmy Butler was there. But when you look at this Raptors team from 2018-19, from that season onward, in other words, as soon as Adrian Griffin arrived to where they are now, you look at names like Fred VanVleet and what he did. He was a young player, had been in the league just 2 years. Obviously, we remember his career from Wichita State. But Fred VanVleet, undrafted, 2 years in the league. He goes from that. I'm not saying it's all Adrian Griffin. To eventually, first year Adrian Griffin as an assistant. He's averaging double figures. Scoring would continue to go up in each of the following 3 seasons. OG Anunoby is another guy you look at. Statistically, his numbers improved year after year. And his second year was when Adrian Griffin arrived. Within a matter of 3 years, he tripled his scoring. Defensively, he became the guy and one of the guys you would point to and say, well, this is the prototype of what we want. But if you take it a step further as well, when you look at some of the other maybe under-the-radar young guys that the Raptors still got contributions from, Malachi Flynn is a guy that played a decent amount as a rookie, basically giving the Raptors 50 games or so each of the last few years. Delano Banton is another guy. It may not mean much. Well, he's just a rotational guy, that's it. But the point is, that's what the Bucks had been starving for. And here the Raptors are just finding and cultivating these guys. Christian Koloko, if you look at last year's draft, another one of those guys that you say, okay, let's find his strengths and maximize those strengths, and we can get runtime from him. So you see these young guys playing in Toronto's offense, or in their system, I should say. And again, I'm not saying this is entirely Adrian Griffin. He wasn't the only assistant on that staff. Nick Nurse certainly played a big role in that as well. But it's a little more than coincidental that that's the team or one of the teams where you see these young guys progress. And they, as I just mentioned minutes ago, are one of those teams that does a good job of finding undrafted guys. You have some of that this year. If you're the Bucks, I think we all have very, very high hopes for Marjon Beauchamp. We've seen a lot of good things from Marjon Beauchamp in this preseason, 3 games in the summer leagues, certainly in the Pro-Am, where he scored 83 points as well. So you see the tools are there. We've seen those flashes from Andre Jackson, too, who is the guy that reminds me his overall makeup of Malcolm Brogdon. Now, I'm not saying he's going to score like Malcolm Brogdon did, he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but a tenured player, played for a winning team, played in big moments in college, an older player, and just a smart player that knows where to be. Ty Washington's another guy. It is going to be interesting to see what the Bucks can get out of him, even if it is at the level of the G League with the Wisconsin Herd. So a number of young names that are out there for the team to develop this season, certainly the biggest difference than what we've seen in years past. Tomorrow night in Oklahoma City, preseason game number 4, Bucks and the Thunder. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our coverage begins. We will talk to you tomorrow night.